Well, brothers and sisters, let me begin my remarks this morning by providing a few details about this graduating class. A total of 2,234 students are receiving diplomas today. 1,420 of those diplomas are, of those graduates are females, and 814 are males. I'll let you draw your own conclusion about that. 855 of the graduates have served full-time missions. Our oldest graduate, Sister Sharon Marler, is 69 years old. Sister Marler, the wife of Kent Marler of our political science faculty, will receive a degree in English. Our youngest graduate to receive an associate degree is Caleb Scholes. Caleb, who is 18 years old, is graduating in general studies. Devin H. Garner, who is from Sandy, Utah, is our youngest graduate to receive a bachelor's degree. Devin, who is 19 years old, is receiving his degree in computer science. Devin is not with us today, but would Sister Marler and Brother Scholes please stand so that we can give you a round of applause. Congratulations. Last year in the April graduation exercises, we awarded 454 bachelor's degrees. At this commencement service, we are awarding 1,112. This reflects an increase of 658 bachelor's degrees from 1 year ago. You might also be interested to know that this will be the first year in the history of the institution when the number of bachelor's degrees being awarded is almost equal to the number of associate degrees being awarded. The number of married students receiving degrees increased from 644 1 year ago to 941 this year. Last August, we announced a new program to encourage students to complete their bachelor's degree in an efficient and timely way. At that time, 4 students were recognized as 8 semester graduates and received a $500 award. Now, 8 months later, 109 graduates have qualified for this award by completing their degree in 8 semesters. Congratulations to each of you 8 semester graduates. We would also like to recognize that a few of our graduating students have been called into active military duty following their graduation. We acknowledge their commitment to protect our country and its citizens at this critical time in our history. I invite the audience to give these graduates a round of applause. And we wish these students Godspeed in their efforts. This is a day you graduates have looked forward to with anticipation and excitement for a long time. I hope each of you has a genuine sense of accomplishment and satisfaction. Sister Bednar and I extend to you our congratulations and our love. Last summer, Sister Bednar and I and her parents traveled to Nauvoo. We had long wanted to see and worship in the Nauvoo Temple. And we were able to arrange a few days in our schedule to make that trip, and it was for us a most memorable experience. Although I was eager to worship in the Nauvoo Temple, I was even more excited to walk down Parley Street. You recall that Parley Street led to the side of the old Nauvoo Ferry, from which the early saints began their exodus from Nauvoo to the Salt Lake Valley. I had visited Nauvoo on other occasions, and I had wondered what it might have been like to walk down Parley Street in the 1840s, leaving a temporally and a spiritually secure environment, and to look back on the city and the Nauvoo Temple before crossing the Mississippi River. Now that the temple was finished, I was anxious to have that experience. You may also recall that on June the 30th, 2002, during the final dedicatory service of the rebuilt Nauvoo Temple, President Gordon B. Hinckley extended a heartfelt request that those present in the temple take time upon leaving the service to walk down Parley Street. He asked that as they did so, they think of a young pioneer family and imagine the difficulty of leaving a comfortable home and departing for an unknown destination. I will never forget what I felt as I walked down Parley Street last summer and looked back at the temple. My heart swelled with gratitude and my eyes filled with tears as I thought about those noble pioneers. I stood near the bank of the Mississippi River for quite some time, and I counted my blessings and I tried to imagine what it would have been like to walk or ferry across the frozen river into an uncertain future. Perhaps in a similar way today, as graduates of BYU-Idaho, you stand at the end of Parley Street, near the banks of the river. You are saying goodbye to what has become for you a well-known and a comfortable environment. Now, you are not being persecuted or chased out of town as were the early saints, unless, of course, you have accumulated more than 140 credit hours on your transcript. But you are stepping into new and uncharted territory. You likely feel some of the same apprehensions and concerns as did those saints who were leaving Nauvoo. And just as they pressed forward in faith and were successful, so you will be also. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will enable you to triumph in turbulent times. Your faith in the Savior will strengthen and protect you. And your faith in the Lord will empower you to step into the darkness, fully knowing and expecting that the light needed to illuminate the pathway before you will be provided after you have taken the step. The prophet Joseph taught that, quote, faith is the assurance which men have of the existence of things which they have not seen, and that it is also the principle of action in all intelligent beings, close quote. Thus, faith is always the beginning or the origin of action. Consider faith in Christ as a principle of action. In this episode involving the children of Israel as they were transporting the Ark of the Covenant under the leadership of Joshua. This story of faith is found in the third chapter of the book of Joshua. The Israelites came to the River Jordan and were promised that the waters would part or stand upon an heap, as is described in verse 13, and that they would be able to cross over on dry ground. Interestingly, the waters did not part as the children of Israel stood on the banks of the river and waited for something to happen. Rather, the soles of their feet were wet before the water was parted. The faith of the Israelites was manifested in the fact that they walked into the water before it parted. They walked into the River Jordan with a future-facing assurance of things hoped for. As the Israelites moved forward, the water parted, and as they crossed over on dry land, they also were able to look back and behold the evidence of things not seen. As you now step into the future and encounter inevitable uncertainties, remember that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. As President Boyd K. Packer has taught, quote, faith to be faith must center around something that is not known. Faith to be faith must go beyond that for which there is confirming evidence. Faith to be faith must go into the unknown. Faith to be faith must walk to the edge of the light and then a few steps into the darkness. If everything has to be known, if everything has to be explained, if everything has to be certified, then there is no need for faith. Indeed, there is no room for it. Close quote. Many of you students graduating today will long remember the counsel given specifically to you by President Gordon B. Hinckley in October of 2002.
Somehow, if you do that,
I likewise testify that as you press forward with faith, God will open the way before you, and the sun will shine upon you, and you will be fruitful and accomplish great good. On your journey, please appropriately seek for the spiritual gifts that will assist and sustain you. Seek in particular for the gift of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would now like to conclude on a personal note. Sister Bednar and I truly love you. We have so much enjoyed visiting with you on campus, in your apartments, participating with you in home evenings, talking about your challenges and opportunities, attempting to answer your questions and becoming better acquainted. Indeed, we will miss you. And we would love to hear from you. Please be sure to let us know about the things that are happening in your lives. Today, you graduates become official alumni of BYU-Idaho, and you now have the responsibility to help the world better understand who we are and what we do at this institution. You have been called to assist in fulfilling the prophecies about this remarkable university. How you live, what you do, and ultimately what you become will define Brigham Young University, Idaho. May the Lord bless you as you always remember Him and serve Him with faith and with diligence and with devotion. As each of our sons has left our home for college and to serve as a full-time missionary, Sister Bednar and I have shared with them this following counsel. Number one, remember that you represent the Savior. Number two, remember that you represent your family. Number three, remember that you represent the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And as you now are leaving Brigham Young University, Idaho, let me add a fourth item to the list. Number four, remember that you represent Brigham Young University, Idaho. We love you. We pray for God's choicest blessings to be upon you. And I declare my witness that Jesus is the Christ, that He lives. I further witness and testify that the fullness of the gospel has been restored to the earth in these latter days. I so testify and witness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.